Riddle Me That is brought to you by Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. Use creation tools right from your phone and your computer, and Anchor will distribute your podcast to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. And it's free. And now, your host, Alex Riddle.
What is up, everybody? You're tuning in to the Riddle Me That podcast with your host, Alex Riddle. On today's episode, the Bulls selecting Patrick Who? Bulls had the number 4 pick in last week's NBA draft. They selected Patrick Williams from Florida State University, the sixth man of the year for the ACC. Will he produce? Will he be the guy that we need at small forward to help carry this Bulls team in the future? We will find out. College hoops are back, full slate of games, 90 games today. Gross matchups, though. So many games postponed. Will the season finish? Will there be a March Madness this year? We cannot have a two-year drought in college basketball. So much to talk about there. And we got the Northwestern Wildcats. Rah, 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 rah. Number 8 in this week's college football playoff race. The highest ranking they have ever had in Northwestern history, all thanks to Reese Davis. Lots to talk about with the Wildcats as they took down number 10 Wisconsin last Saturday. Let's get it going. So last week in the NBA draft, the Chicago Bulls selected Patrick Williams with the number 4 pick. Kind of out of the blue, you know, going into the draft, I wasn't, you know, if you were to go Riddle, who would you want on the Bulls? I couldn't tell you who I was expecting or who I preferred. I think it would have been kind of cool if someone like LaMelo Ball or even James Wiseman, if the Bulls did a trade for him, you know, that'd be kind of cool to get one of those top players. Obviously, Anthony Edwards was going to go number 1 to the Timberwolves. That was made pretty clear for the draft, so I knew the Bulls weren't going to get him. But, you know, looking back on it, I don't know. You know, I don't know too much about Wiseman and LaMelo. They had like the most hype, but it's unclear if you know they're going to be super successful in the NBA. I was, you know, kind of hoping that LaMelo maybe would fall, but at the end of the day, we needed a small forward. And Patrick Williams, you know, people say that the Bulls stretched for him. I heard that the Detroit Pistons, you know, who had a 10 or 11 pick, was trying to trade up for Patrick Williams in the draft. You know, he was really impressive towards scouts, you know, in the pre-NBA workouts. His draft stock rose really high. And at the end of the day, I like the pick. I've talked myself into liking it. At first, you know, I wasn't sure how to react. You know, not too much highlights on Patrick Williams, you know, not too much film on the guy. But from the highlights I've seen, he can throw it down. And that's what the Bulls have been missing for so long. They usually draft someone that doesn't have that skill set to match up physically with a lot of players, and they're more on the side of, you know, of being conservative, you know, and also not being able to shoot. This guy looks like he can shoot. You know, he'll get better. You know, he's not great yet, but you know, he has a decent shot. He can shoot from the outside. He can take it to the hoop and slam it down. That's what I want to see on somebody that the Bulls are drafting that high, you know, and they could also play defense on the other side. You know, he's gotten some Kawhi Leonard comparisons. I mean, I'll take a Kawhi Leonard comparison all day. And when you asked me, you know, did the Bulls stretch for him? I don't think they did, because you look at the guys that were drafted after them. You had, you know, guys like Obi Toppin going to the Knicks. You know, there were, you know, Denny who fell a little bit. You know, the Israeli guy who looks scrawny, by the way. Kind of looks like a goofball, as my dad would say. But, you know, so there isn't anybody where I'm like, damn, you know, I wish the Bulls would have taken him. But at the end of the day, who knows? And luckily, the season starts on December 22nd. So us Bulls fans are going to know soon enough if this new management is for real or if they really did just make a bad pick. But I am going on a limb here and saying that I trust this Bulls management. they just came here. You know, we have a new owner from Denver, you know, new coach and Billy Donovan. I like what the Bulls are doing. And I think, you know, everyone was thrilled that they got him at number four. And Billy Donovan really loved him. All I know is that I'm just so thankful that Jim Boylan is out as the Chicago Bulls head coach and that we have a guy with a proven track record like Billy Donovan, you know, whether if it's in college at Florida or on the Oklahoma City Thunder, getting a group of guys that were undervalued and making a playoff run with those guys. So that's having a coach with playoff experience is just what the Bulls needed, rather than, you know, getting guys like Fred Hoiberg, who obviously had no head coach experience. And then Jim Boylan being an assistant coach for Popovich, who, yeah, that kind of looks promising until you have him as your coach. And you're like, wow, this guy sucks. But ultimately, kind of a weird draft this year. Not a lot of superstars per se. But I like the Bulls. I like what the Bulls did in the draft. I like that they, after the draft, picked up a guard in Devin Dotson from Kansas. He went undrafted. Very good player last year. You know, was in the running for player of the year. So I like that pickup. They actually also just got Zach Norvell. Go Zags, baby. They, you know, he was undrafted. He's been hanging around the league for a little bit. So good pickups by the Bulls. We'll, like I said, we'll see soon enough how these guys turn out. But you know what? All I can say is I'm happy that there's going to be a season coming up. I'm happy for Bulls basketball to return. If you like, you know, if you're questioning the Bulls' moves on Patrick Williams, I understand, but try to be optimistic. I mean, we don't really know what this guy's capable of yet. I don't think he knows what he's capable of yet. So let's give it a chance as fans. Let's see if this works out. College basketball just started up on Wednesday. It was the season opener for a lot of teams. It was also the first postponed game out of many for a lot of teams, as at least 30 games have been postponed. That's going to happen, though. If you pay attention to college football, a lot of games have been getting postponed. There's also less games in college football than there are in college basketball. So be prepared as a college basketball fan to be ready for a lot of cancellations. Hopefully your team that you're rooting for has good COVID regulations in place, but it's hard to know as we're not inside that team's locker room. But exciting first day. It just felt good that basketball was back. A lot of crappy matchups, but there's also some good ones. Big upset later in the night, San Diego State taking on UCLA. That was a great game. Some great games earlier in the day. Drake coming out of nowhere, taking out Kansas State, who's, you know, projected lower in the Big 12, but it's good to see, you know, a Missouri Valley team like Drake getting a win against a Power 5 team. We also had some other night action. Villanova tested by Boston College. That was a great game. Boston College really, you know, being, you know, heavy underdogs in this matchup, was in it till the last 5 minutes. Then they kind of, you know, teetered off. But it was cool to see some fight out of those guys. Villanova, going to be a good team, but obviously have some work to do. Being a little undersized, you know, then James Robinson Earl needs to, you know, really be a big presence inside to really have that team floor, you know, along with Gillespie up top. They're going to be just fine being number three in the country. But watch out between that matchup and Arizona State on Thanksgiving night. It's going to be Remy Martin, who's a top five preseason All-American, going up against Nova. So that's going to be an exciting, heavy offensive game. The big story right here is Gonzaga. Gonzaga is the real deal this year. My Zags, ranked number one in the preseason, taking down the number six Kansas Jayhawks very convincingly. It was a very, you know, close matchup, but the Zags were in control the whole time. Ended up winning by double digits. Jalen Suggs and Corey Crispert are the real deal. Suggs, one of the top prospects this year, being a freshman, you know, coming out of high school. So one of the highest recruits the Zags have ever gotten. Corey Crispert, on the other hand, trying to prove that he's a real deal for the NBA. I mean, he looks like a Kyle Korver type player. The confidence this guy has is off the charts. He believes he can't miss a shot. If you just watch his games, you know, he has the headband rocking, you know, classic zags, you know, shooting from all over the court. So it's really cool to see how good the Zags are going to be this year. And they have an unbelievably tough non-conference schedule. They have the number six Jayhawks that they just beat. They have Auburn on Friday, unranked Auburn, but still a tough team. Number 15, West Virginia in the Jimmy V Classic next week. Number 2, Baylor the following weekend. Number 5, Iowa. I love that they're stacking their schedule like this. They're in it, you know, to win it this year. And they're trying to prove that, you know, with how weak their conference is, they're trying to prove that, yeah, we have a weak conference, but we can beat all the top teams in the country. So it's going to be fun following that team this year. Hopefully they can stay healthy. But if they do, they're going to be dangerous. I want to talk about, so college basketball is back. The Bulls are coming up. NFL right now is, you know, quietly getting near the playoffs. It's going to be interesting to see if teams like the Steelers can finish going undefeated, if they can beat the Chiefs. In the NFC, are the Seahawks going to come back to form? Is a team like the Dallas Cowboys or the Redskins going to win the division? I mean, that's unbelievable that we're even, you know, talking about that right now, as that's, you know, historically might be one of the worst divisions of football. We have a team like the New Orleans Saints with no Drew Brees. Will they strive with Taysom Hill at quarterback, with Jameis Winston on the side? It's going to be a crazy year in the NFL. And what happened to the Baltimore Ravens? Are they going to make a run at the end of the season? Along with the Tennessee Titans, who are the most, they are the weirdest team to watch. They are so good, but can also lose to anybody. So will Derrick Henry show up when they need him? It's going to be an awesome year of the NFL. That being said, fantasy seasons are about to enter the playoffs. It's the witching hour in all sports right now. You have every single sport going right now. We all have to be thankful this Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, by the way, everybody. I hope everyone's safe out there during this pandemic. Our first major holiday during this crazy time. So I hope everyone's well, enjoying food with their families. But we all have to be thankful that, you know, as sports fans, that we're able to watch, that it's going on right now. It's crazy that we're even able to sit here and have all these different options. But if there's one thing for sure, life right now would not be the same without my Northwestern Wildcats. Number 8 in the college football, in the first revealing of the college football playoffs. They have their own destiny mapped out for them. If they can finish off the season beating Michigan State, Minnesota, U of I, they are going to play Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship. And if they can beat Ohio State, big if, but if they can win, they would go to their first ever college football playoff. And that would just be the coolest thing I've ever seen. I could never in my 24 years of existence, in my dad's 60 years of existence, imagine that the Northwestern Wildcats might go up against a team like Alabama or Clemson. The thought is unimaginable, but it is there for them this year. Their defense is legit. They have a coach and Pat Fitzgerald that just knows how to coach. I can easily see him coaching in the NFL. I wish the Bears would reach out to him. He'd be a great fit. But the story of the year right now for the Northwestern Wildcats, it's all about Reese Davis. During last week's college football preview, you know, like their game day set, one of the commentators, I can't remember his name, it doesn't matter. Oh, Joey Galloway is asked about what he thinks about the players in Northwestern, and he goes, they just have a bunch of Reese Davises. Reese Davis is the head anchor for that show. You know, so basically calling Northwestern unathletic. Northwestern took that to heart, and it showed on Saturday against Wisconsin as they again let up 0 points in the second half. The fourth time out of their 5 games this year that they've done that. That is unbelievable. They have a legit top 5 defense in the whole country. And they are, you know, that's the last thing that any team needed was for Northwestern to get jabbed on. They know they're undermatched, you know, usually in a typical Northwestern year athletically, but this year is not the case. They have great offensive weapons and Peyton Ramsey at quarterback. Their wide receiver, who I can't even pronounce his name, look him up, you'll know who I'm talking about. Obi Anwanika, whatever. Bowser at running back with a little Drake Anderson on the side. Riley Lees. They showed a video of post-Wisconsin win when they're, you know, practicing. You know, and they're all joking. They're like, oh, my name's Riley Reese Davis. Or, nice catch, Reese, as Coach Fitz would say. And it's funny because Coach Fitz was caught saying, you know, it's funny how we have to use this as motivation because I love Reese Davis. But that's just the way it is now. And I feel like there's magic brewing in the air. And it's not very often that I can say that about a Northwestern team that, you know, has gone through everything. And they've gone through heartbreaks. They've gone through years of misery. And this year, you know what? If they go up against Ohio State and they give it all they have and they lose, it's still a win this year. And they're still Rose Bowl bound. So the fact that we're even sitting here and talking about Northwestern being a top 10 team right now, it's unbelievable. So, you know, I thank God that college football is happening right now. You know, with the Big Ten starting so late, it was hard to even, like, I didn't even know what Northwestern was going to bring to the table this year. But after crushing a good Maryland team week one, coming back against a top 25 Iowa team, taking it to Wisconsin, this team is legit. And if you're not on the Northwestern bandwagon right now, well, you're about to be for the rest of the season because rah, 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 cats are coming, baby.
Riddle's rant of the week.
Bang, bang, what's the hang?
My Riddle's rant of the week. It's an obvious one this week. It's going to my main man, Joey Galloway. Joey, you might be the sole reason that Northwestern wins all this year. The Reese Davis comment is just what they needed. It was the extra spark for the Wildcats. You know, it's funny that I have this segment on the Riddle's rant. It could easily be my G4 spotlight. But here comes the rant. It's just like, who do you think you are as an ESPN announcer who you make crappy picks, by the way? You know, you make a lot of picks every day. And I see if they come through, and a lot of them don't. And you see them all ultra confident, Mr. Joey. And it's just the fact that you're the one up there saying that you don't know anything about Northwestern football. You're not a part of their program. You don't know what type of training they've been through. The mindsets they have, they are well coached. They have an unbelievable defense. And they're, how can they not be athletic when they're going out there against Big Ten teams and winning? They're undefeated. You know, they've beat teams, good teams, Wisconsin, Purdue, Iowa. So the fact that you're up there calling us Reese Davises, well, let me tell you something, my guy. You are a Reese Davis.
G4 Spotlight of the Week.
My G4 spot of the week this week, it's going to be unsports related this week. It's just going to go out to the fact that I'm able to spend Thanksgiving with my family this year. It's been a weird last 5 months, you know, with COVID, moving out to my new apartment. It's been a lot. But the fact that I'm able to come home for a couple days, eat some turkey, have some laughs, watch some football, life is good. I can't complain. You know, being able to spend Thanksgiving is always special, but I think this year we all have to appreciate, you know, what we have in this world that right now it's hard to see and realize what you do have. And I think the fact that we're able to enjoy a day like Thanksgiving, it just means a lot. And you know what? A lot of people right now are probably not being able to do what they originally planned, having to adjust their Thanksgiving plans. But hopefully you found a group of friends or family that you're able to spend time with today, and just be able to sit back and just relax, take a deep breath, enjoy some turkey, some mashed potatoes, some corn pudding. Life's good. My flick of the week this week, I'm gonna take it to Disney Plus in The Mandalorian. I just started that the other day. My family actually started it last week. There were a couple episodes in, so I caught up so we could watch a couple more tonight. I've heard amazing things from everybody that's seen it, and the hype's real. The Mandalorian it's sick. You know, right away, it's a classic Star Wars bar fight where after that, you know, the Mandalorian trying to escape on a ship from the sea monster. You know, constant action. If you're not familiar with the Mandalorian, he's a bounty hunter. He's out in the world literally doing everything from rescuing Baby Yoda to fighting off thieves. It's an awesome show. You know, it's only 30-minute episodes, so you know, you can fly through it pretty quickly. Very well done. Very Star Wars-y. You know, obviously, it's a Star Wars show, but you know, you think, oh, well, how is this going to relate to the Star Wars series itself? You just have to watch and find out. You know, it takes it definitely takes a few episodes to figure out what the plot is, but just enjoy the Star Wars action. I recommend purchasing Disney Plus. My parents actually recently got it, so I have an inside scoop to that. It has a ton of cool Marvel shows that you probably haven't thought of in a while, but it's all there. But check out The Mandalorian. I highly recommend. Awesome show. For my bet of the week this week, I'm taking it to college football. Big slate of games on Friday, all day, kind of a Thanksgiving special. I'm taking Iowa State money line over Texas. Texas, good team, but I feel like a team like Iowa State, you know, with their beast running back that they have, that they're going to take it to Texas. Iowa State's hungry right now. They're hot. After listening to the Raging Cajuns earlier this year, they've picked it up. Texas, good offensive team. Going to be a high-scoring affair, but I think Iowa State will get it done. They're minus 103 right now. I like those odds. And I like Iowa State. You know, they're a gritty team. Not afraid to go into someone else's building and get it done. Iowa State, money line against Texas. Book it. It is now time for my favorite segment of the week, the Fichtner Cup Fantasy Football League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. The best league in the land, in the world. It was quite the week 11 this week as we've officially entered the witching hour for this year's fantasy football COVID edition season. And it was a battle between a lot of teams trying to desperately make the playoffs and teams trying to hold on for their dear lives. I just want to hop right into it. It was a heartbreaking loss for the Saloons this week, coming to the commissioner, the 69ers featuring Nick and Madison, getting an 130.56 to 129.96 victory. It came down to Monday night, per usual, for Mr. Boyd. And he was able to work his magic again. Cooper Kupp going off for 20 points. And Tampa Bay getting just that 1 point that he needed to put him over the edge against the Saloons. It was a hard-fought battle, but in the end, it was the commish getting the W, moving to 7-4, putting his foot down in the East Division. Still trying to go for that bye. Don't know if he'll get it, but the commissioner's trending up. You know, he really took it to heart when I said he was trending down earlier, and he's responded. He has Deshaun Watson getting him 30, Tyler Lockett 17, Mark Andrews with 18, big X factor there for his team. Going to be a tough out in the playoffs, but the Saloons are going to come back. Now 9-2 in the league. Due for a loss, but at the end of the day, love competing. It was a hard-fought loss to Boyd, but going to move forward going to next week. Another game that came down to Monday night, it was McGee's Human Centipede against Big Daddy for Three, both desperately needing a win. But it was McGee's getting the 103.58 to 90.02 victory over Big Daddy, as the LA Rams just couldn't get it done at the end, had a couple tough moments with Brady fumbling, but they didn't call it a fumble, would have given Koff six, along with a punt return that looked like a fumble recovery by the Rams, but was ultimately hitting a Rams player first, so it wasn't a fumble. And Antonio Brown, getting a 9.8 with Godwin getting 14.8, did the job for Nasser, getting that huge dub, moving himself to 5-6, and pushing Coughlin on the brink of elimination with 4-7. I've been hyping Coughlin up all year. But it's sad to see right now he's lost a few in a row. He's lost some crucial games. He just can't seem to buy a break this year. But that's just the way fantasy season goes.
So Coughlin knows that. You know, he's been around the block enough to know how the system works. And right now, it's just not his year. But ultimately, he's not done yet. He's playing the Saloons next week. He's going to need to win out and some things to happen. So don't say bye to Coughlin yet, but it's looking like a Freak Bowl playoffs season for Mr. Coughlin. Nassar is still right in at 5-6 in the playoffs right now at that number 6 seed, holding on for dear life. Going to need at least another victory to get in. Going to be exciting end of the season for Mr. Nassar. Another matchup I want to go to now is the bailouts, bailing out himself out with a victory over Ethan Holman, 127.8 to 118.08. It was Aaron Rodgers leading the charge this week with a Kelce touchdown on Sunday night, putting him over a tough Ethan Holman squad. Holman gave him everything he can, but Big Ben really letting him down, only giving him 16. Jacoby Myers only giving him 5 after going off the previous weeks. It was a hard-fought battle. Holman, right now, not out of the playoffs yet at 4-7, controlling his home destiny. If he wins out, he should make the playoffs at 6-7 based on how his schedule goes. But it's a tough loss for Holman as he really wanted to be 5-6. Bailouts going to 6-5. Huge win for them. Having a crazy year starting off 5-1 to 5-5, now 6-5. Should be in the playoffs, but still wants to get another win the next couple weeks to secure that spot. The next matchup here, we have the Minneapolis Mike Caputos taking it to Dan Fernando's Vegas Sun, 122.56 to 84.58. Justin Herbert just eating, 3 touchdowns, 366 yards, 27 points. Along with Tyreek Hill doing Tyreek things, 233 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns. It looks like another, punched his ticket to the Freak Bowl playoffs, but definitely going there now. Going to have to put something together to avoid the Freak Bowl. No one wants to go to the Freak Bowl. So tough loss for Ticket, but he's playing a hot Nato team that's getting hot at the right time. I've talked about all year how Nato goes in streaks, but right now he has on a hot streak. Now being 5-6 in that 5 seed right now. No one wants to play for Nato in the playoffs, especially with the hot Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Tyreek Hill. Huge win. Going to have to, with Holman on the lookout and Nassar right there and Coughlin leaving in the shadows, now he's going to have to perform the next couple weeks, but looking good going into week 12. The last matchup here, we have the ugliest matchup of the week. We had about that action, grinding out an 84.54 victory over 66.96 Big Sam. Really, really not performing this week with Todd Gurley putting up 3, Malcolm Brown with 3, Julio Jones with 4. Questionable Davante Adams spotting him on the bench with 20. Kuhn, I wish you the best of luck in the Freak Bowl playoffs. It was an interesting year for you. You know, you came back a little bit towards the middle, started setting your lineup, but ultimately it wasn't enough to get yourself to the playoffs this year. Lebo moving to 9-2, tying himself with the Saloons as the 1-2 seeds. Gonna have to put up better numbers than that once you get to the playoffs, but that's his one week where, you know, he's playing a Big Sam team that wasn't able to put up numbers. So if you're going to have that bad week, it was going to be last week. So nonetheless, a win's a win. About the action moves to 9-2, keeping that hype train alive. This now puts me into the week, end of week 11, start of week 12 power rankings. And here we go. At number 10, we have Big Sam. Big Sam trying to make a late season run, ultimately not being able to do so, putting up a ridiculous lineup with Davante Adams on the bench, well deserving of the 10 seed. At number 9, we have Big Ticket Pastuovic. Also trying to put together a late season run. Cha-Cha Vegas. Ultimately coming up short against a Lebo team where he had a chance this week. Only putting up 80 points, but not being able to get it done. At number 8, we have Big Daddy for 3, Kyle Coughlin. Having a tough stretch, losing his last 3 games. Going up against a tough matchup in Sue Coon's Saloons next week. Going to have to make some magic at the end of the year. Don't know if it's going to be enough. Big Daddy coming in number 8. At number 7, we have Mr. Ethan Holman. Holman's been preaching this year how you can't count him out. That's true. Can't count Holman out. He's 4-7 right now. He needs a late season run. Not sure if he'll, you know, he controls his own destiny. So if he wins out, Holman will have a chance. Has to be Boyd this week. You know, have to, don't want to look too far ahead. But with 2 weeks left, gonna have to make something happen. Let's see if he can get it done. But for now, he is at number 7 on the outside looking in. At number 6, we have Mr. Mike Nasser. Nasser with a very interesting year this year, starting off 1-4, making his presence known, coming all the way back, then losing 2 in a row, but then winning a clutch win against Coughlin last week. Nasser hanging on for dear life, but he's right in it. You know, he's a tough number 6 seed right there. He's found his voice with Russell Wilson in the locker room. Going to have to do some more work at the end of this year to stay in that playoffs, but looking good right now at 5-6, probably just needs one more win. At number 5, we have... it's a tough one. I'm going to have to go Mike Caputo's, Nick Fornato. Fornato's been all over the map this year, starting off hot at 3-2, but then losing 4 straight and now winning 2 in a row. He's one of the hotter teams in the league right now. Don't let his record deceive you. But still with some work to be done, as he has a couple tough matchups to end the year. At number 4, we have the Dotson bailouts. The bailouts coming off his biggest win of the season, coming against Ethan Holman last week, needing a W, does not want to go 5-6, sharing the same record as Holman and Nasser and Caputo's. So Klein hands breaking that 5-6 barrier, going to 6-5. And number 3, we have the commissioner, Luke Boyd. Boyd with a huge win over the number 1 team in the league, the Saloons, last week. He's been talked a lot about this league. You know, a lot of shit being thrown his way. Him dishing out shit as well. Can't say I know where his future lands, but he's one of the hottest teams in the league right now. He is trending way up. But number 3 is as high as he's going to go right now, as about that action, and the Saloons have 2 higher powering teams for him to pass. But, Luke, you are trending up. You're right there, number 3. I hope you don't complain about your seating. You know, you like to complain a lot. I think number 3 is very generous. It's a good place to be, and you're right there. And number 2, we have about that action. About that action, coming off an ugly win last week, but nonetheless, 9-2. Still with some of the most hype in the league. We'll see if he can bring it back the next 2 weeks, as he's going to need to put up bigger numbers going into the playoffs, but most likely getting that bye, he's, you know, he has some room to work with. So about that action, comfortably at number 2. At number 1, we have the Sukun Saloon coming off a tough loss against Boyd, but the Saloons are feeling good. You know, those losses are going to happen. I'd rather have that loss happen now to the Saloons than the playoffs come. A point 6 loss, you know, yeah, you shake your head. What if I would have started this guy? What if I started him? You can't think like that. Boyd played a hell of a matchup. It was a tough, tough loss, but we're going to come back next week with vengeance. This goes now into the week 12 preview for the second to last week in the Fichtner Cup. And we're going to run into it. We had the Big Daddy for 3s going up against the Saloons. Both have a couple guys going on Thanksgiving. Ultimately going to have to get the edge of the Saloons here. Don't know if Big Daddy for 3 will be able to have the firepower. But if Michael Thomas gets hot, Hopkins gets a couple bombs, Mahomes goes off, you can never count Big Daddy for 3 out. But ultimately it's going to be the Saloons getting the victory. Next matchup we have the Bailouts taking on Big Sam. Bailouts tend to play to level their competition this year, so you can never count Big Sam out in this matchup, but I think the Bailouts will once again bail themselves out and grind out a tight victory against Big Sam. A big rivalry matchup here. For the next matchup, we have the 69ers featuring Nick and Madison going up against Ethan Holman. Two huge rivals this week. Ethan's playoffs starting already. Needs a W against Boyd. And you know what? I think Ethan Holman's going to pull it out. I think Holman has what it takes. Boyd's really not going to like this prediction here. That's okay. But Holman needing a win here. Boyd's been so hot. He's due for a loss. I'm taking Holman here in a shootout. A 125-123 victory against Nick and Madison. Don't go to the zoo with Madison. Actually, that's not it. What am I talking about? I'm messing with, but you know what? Same thing. You know, you're Boyd, you are associating yourself with Madison, so that's on you. Next matchup here, we have Bout That Action going up against Minneapolis Mikapudos. This might be the game of the week along with Boyd and Holman. But right here, we have two tightly matched opponents here, both needing a win. And I think it's going to be the Caputos getting the W. They're coming in hot, coming off a two-game win streak. Bout That Action struggling to put up points the last couple weeks. And I'm going to take Nato in this matchup. I like his matchups he has. You know, Kareem Hunt going up against Jacksonville. Josh Jacobs going up against Atlanta. I'm liking Nato in this matchup. A 110-109 victory. And last but not least, we have big ticket Dan Fernow's Vegas Sun going up against McGee's Human Centipede. With right now starting Kenny Galladay in his lineup. Big mistake there. Mike Cost, Nasser. His matchup, I don't know what he's doing with Galladay in his lineup, but there you have it. Galladay with the fat zero in Nasser's lineup, already putting himself one man. Maybe it's a taunting technique, trying to one-up Pastuovic, but I'm going to have to take Pastuovic in this matchup just based off the fact that right now, McGee's is not setting his lineup in the most crucial time of the year. Don't know what he's doing. I'm going with the upset here. Cha-cha, cha-cha. Vegas. That's all the time we have today on the Riddle Me That podcast. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I hope everyone's having a great Thanksgiving during this time of year. You know, it's the holiday season. It may not feel like it, but take advantage of this time. Be thankful for what you have. Be thankful for the people you surround yourself, your family, friends, and live it up. Have a couple drinks, have some turkey, have some gravy, have some mashed potatoes, and don't forget about that corn pudding. I hope everybody has good holidays, and I'll see you guys next week. Real Daddy, out.